Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nedarim Daf Tzadi Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage, and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 8 lines from the top of Daf Tzadi Aleph. You'll notice in the middle of the line in our marked Gemaras a bow tie shape. On the side of the Gemara, in our marked Gemara, you see a Nosei Mivneh heading, Nosei the topic heading, and Mivneh structural note that we have written. And this is, of course, question number 3. The series that we had started in our previous shiur, and we've written Omra Isha Sha'omra Labaila. A woman says to her husband, Gerashtani, Hayim Hine Menes. She says, you divorced me. Is she believed? There are a number of different nafkaminas, different practical outcomes of this if you say she is believed. For example, if she is the wife of a Kohen, so he will not be able to remarry her, to take her back. This is a woman that we know to have been married once. Now, if we believe her, that will then enable her to marry someone else. So now we see, we continue with the Gemara text itself, Ibayalaho, Omra Labayla, a woman says to her husband, Girashtani, you divorced me, Mahu, what is the din? So here we have Rav Hamnuna, he tries to answer the question. You'll notice we have a marking using diamonds, and the tips of the diamonds are shaded in, but at different points. So on the side, you see that we have these features. These are tshuvos, or these are responses. Deos hafuchos b'inyan ne'emanusa. Opposite opinions regarding her believability. There's another marking that you'll see, a double underline, and it highlights the expression de yoda ba, and this is of value for connecting the Gemara here with the Gemara later on. So now the Gemara continues. Toshma, we say Omer Rav Hamnuna, Toshma hoimeres temeo ani loch. This is a quote from the Mishnah where a woman says to her husband, we saw this in our Mishnah, a woman who was married to a Kohen who said she had been raped. And the Gemara, that is Rav Hamnuna, uses this to say as follows, the afilu lemishnah achreina dekatoni lo mehemna, even according to the latter approach taught in our Mishnah regarding a woman who makes such a claim, that she is not believed. Once again, a woman who's married to a Kohen that claims she's raped, a woman who is married to a Kohen and raped is not permitted to be married anymore. But the Mishnah Achrona says we don't believe her. Hasam hu de Meshakra. There, in that case, we suspect her of lying. The yoda de baila lo yoda ba. She knows. She's aware that her husband doesn't know. He doesn't know the absolute facts. So she will lie, not fearing that he will catch her, so to speak, because she knows that he doesn't know what happened to her. Avogabi gerashtani. But a woman who says to her husband, you divorced me. The yoda ba. The husband knows what he did. And nevertheless, she is saying that to his face. Mehenna, she is believed. The chazaka ein isha meiza ponel b'fnei baila. There is an assumed status that women have that they would not be so brash as to lie in front of their faces. So that if the woman is saying to her husband's face, you divorced me, she must be telling the truth. Omar le Rava. Adarava. Rava objects He says, to the contrary, afilu lemishna rishona dekotoni mehemna, even according to the first approach taken in the Mishnah regarding the woman who says tameo ani loch, and the first approach said she is believed, hasa mishum delo avido levzui nafsho. There, why is she believed? Because she, if she were not telling the truth, she is basically saying something that is a source of embarrassment to her. A person who says something that's a bizoyan, that's disparaging, that's embarrassing, that's belittling, they must be telling the truth. So that's the case in a woman who says, I was raped. Aval hocha, de zimnin de tokif lo min gavra, meizo meizo. But here with a claim of gerashtani, there are situations, and Rashi has two explanations as to what tokif lo min gavra means. One explanation is that her husband caused her such a painful life that she will be so bold as to say, just to get out of living with him, that you divorce me. Or she is overcome with an evil inclination, with a yetzer to be with another man. And in order to be with that other man, she'll may his punim, she'll be so brash as to say to her husband, you divorce me. So in the case of a claim of gerashtani, you have this mitigating circumstance or extenuating circumstance that would cause her to lie. Therefore, she's not believed. So, once again, we had a question. A woman says to her husband, you divorce me. Is she believed or not? At this point, we see a machlokes, Rav Hamnuna, and Rava. As we go on in the Gemara, you'll notice we have a crown shape, and the same shape appears a little bit later, but inverted. On the side of the Gemara, on our Mivneh heading, we indicate that the crown with the points facing up is a Kushya al Rava, and the inverted one is a Kushya al Rav Hamnuna. So, we continue. Mosiv Rav Misharshia. This is also a quote from the Mishnah. Hashomayim beini leveincha de Mishnah Rishona. Tevet yufta de Rava. In our Mishnah, we saw a woman claiming that the husband's form of intimacy with her was one that is incapable of impregnating her. It's not, we saw in our previous year, we discussed this and mentioned that she claims he's not Yoyra Kechetz, he doesn't ejaculate forcefully. And according to the early approach in the Mishnah, the first approach, the Mishnah Rishona, we saw that the woman is believed. So Rav Misharshia is saying, let that case of the willingness to believe the lady be a refutation of Rava. Now, how does that work? So the Gemara explains. The less law kisufa. Vikotoni de mehemna. The thinking right now is that when the woman puts her claim in Hashomayim beini leveincha, or that all she's saying is that that only heaven can testify, can bear witness that you do not enable me to have children. So at this point, the thinking is that it's a claim that doesn't involve bizayon, it doesn't involve disparagement, and yet there is willingness to believe her. What did Rava argue? Rava said that believability is based only on a claim that involves disparagement, involves embarrassment, that a person wouldn't say such a thing unless it was absolutely true. Here you have believability even without that element of bizayon. The Gemara answers, Kosova Rava. Rava, in looking at the claim of Hashamayim Beini Leveincha, Kosova Rava Hosam, in that case, Kevan de lo Sagi La, de lo Omra Ein Yore Kechetz. When a woman comes to the court saying to that, that all only heaven can testify regarding you that you don't enable me to have children, the court is going to ask, why? Why is he? What's the reason you say that? So she's going to have to come out with the, we'll call them the gory details. She's going to have to say, like we said before, but she's going to have to say it quite explicitly. He is not Yerich Kechetz. That means, he doesn't, literally, it means he doesn't shoot like an arrow, but it means he doesn't ejaculate with force. Elo Isa Kideka Omra, if it is not really like she's saying Lo Omrale, she wouldn't say such a thing. For a woman to come out in front of a court and say he's not Yoyra Kechetz, that in and of itself is an embarrassing thing to speak about, and hence, just like Rava argued before, that believability is achieved when one says something that otherwise would be embarrassing. Why do they say it? They must be telling the truth. And that's why, according to the Mishnah Rishona, a woman who says Hashamayim Beini Levein Cha is believed. So at this point, then Rava has defended himself against the question raised on his opinion, and now the inverted crown shape is being proposed as a question on Rav Hamnuna. Hashamayim Beini Levein Cha de Mishnah Achroina Tevet Yufta de Rav Hamnuna. Let the Mishnah Achrona, the latter ruling of the of our Mishnah regarding the woman's claim of Hashamayim Beini Levein Cha, where we see she is not believed, let that be a refutation of Rav Hamnuna's approach. And the Gemara explains, here you have a situation where a woman knows that her husband knows what's going on, and v'katani d'lo mehemna, and the Mishnah nevertheless says she is not believed. Notice above Rav Hamnuna's basis of saying that the woman is believed was because she's making a comment that she knows that her husband is well aware of. Well, here you have a case of her making a statement or a claim that she knows the husband is well aware of, and she's not believed. The claim of Hashamayim Beini Levein Cha. The Gemara answers, Kosova Rav Hamnuna, Hochanami Higuf Amra. Even in the case of Hashamayim Beini Levein Cha, which we just explained is where the woman is essentially claiming that he doesn't enable her to bear children because he's not Yoyra Kechetz. So Rav Hamnuna says that the woman figures, Nihita Babia Yoda, granted that he knows that he had intimacy with me, but Yoyra Kechetz, me Yoda? Does he know, does the man know with what force the male seed was emitted? No. She feels it, but he doesn't know the force. He doesn't know whether he was Yerke Chetz or Mishamachi Meshakra. And because he doesn't know, she will lie. She will take a chance and say something that's not necessarily true. And therefore, according to the Mishnah Achrona, she is not believed. And this is quite in line with Hamnuna's approach, that believability is achieved when a person makes a claim that they know the other party is well aware of and makes the claim anyway. Otherwise, they wouldn't have the brazenness to lie in their face. As we move on in the Gemara, we have a new marking. You see triangles. And by the way, if you don't have a marked Gemara, realize that you can access one by contacting gmarkings@gmail.com. The triangle is featured on the side of the Gemara, which where we've written under the Nosei Mivneh heading, Sidra Shel Mikrim, series of cases, Hama'urim Chashad, Be'inyan Eishas Ish, where suspicion is aroused regarding matters of the of immorality concerning a married woman. So we have a few stories. Hahi itza, there was a woman. The Ran and the Tosfos explain that we're dealing with the wife of a Kohen. The Chol Yoima, the Tashmish, every day after she had intimacy with her husband. Mikdama Mashi Yodei Legavra, she would bring water for her husband to wash his hands. Rashi says, Kidei Letaher Yodav Achar Tashmish, it's a means of a purification of one's hands after intimacy. This concept of purification of one's hands we see in other areas of halacha. The most common would be washing one's hands for eating bread. So too, after intimacy, this woman brought water to her husband for washing his hands. In the Rosh commentary, he mentions at the bottom line, Kishoya Mishame Shimo Balailo Isa Mashkemas Baboykir Venesenis Lomayim Yodov. When they had intimacy at night, so early in the morning she would bring water for him to wash his hands. Yumachad, one day, Asyole Mayo Lema Mosha. She dutifully brings water to her husband for him to wash his hands. Armala, so husband says to her, well, what are you bringing the water for? We didn't have intimacy. Omrale, wow. So she obviously had intimacy, at least thinking or claiming that she had intimacy with her husband. But now he's saying, I didn't have it. So she says to him, Im Kain, Chad Min Nochrim, we continue at the top of Amud Beis, Aluye Dahabuhocho Idna, Iant Lo Dilmo Min Hon. She says, it must be one of the Gentiles who are spice salesmen that were here, that had the intimacy with me. If it wasn't you, it must have been one of them. As a result of what she's saying, if you take it at face value, she's then saying that she has been rendered unfit to her husband. Following the Ran and the Tosfos that explained we're dealing with an Ashes Kohen, the wife of a Kohen. So the wife of a Kohen, even if it's something that she is unaware of, for example, a case of rape, will render her unfit to her husband. Here she's saying that she had intimacy, though unintentional, she had intimacy with a Gentile. That would render her unfit to her husband. So, how are we to rule? Omar Rav Nachman, a neho nosno biachir, the less bo mashosha v'mila. Rav Nachman, in following the spirit of the Mishnah Achrona, the latter ruling that we saw in the Mishnah, says she is not believed. She is saying what she's saying because she's probably been infatuated or seduced, so to speak, by the likes of someone else. In other words, she's interested in leaving her husband, and she fabricated this whole story in order to get away from her husband. So we don't believe her. Hahi itza delo have a bedicha daita b'hadi gavra, a woman who was not at good terms with her husband. Omar lo ho'idno maishna. So the husband asks, Why are you irritated? Why are you not on good terms? What happened? What's wrong? Omra le, so she tells her husband, Me'olam lo tzartan b'derech eretz ki oidna. I never had such pain in intimacy like just now. In other words, she says, you know, just last night we were together and you caused me great pain. Omar lo, lo have hodo mil sohit, no, I wasn't with you at all last night. Omro le, oh, she says, it wasn't you. Him kain halin nohrim naftuye tavu ocha ha'idna. She says, and it must have been the neft is a substance of time. In modern Hebrew, you see that being used as a type of fuel. You find it in the Gemara Masechet Shabbos as well. It must be these Gentile neft salesmen that were here today. Ianslo dilmochad min hom. If the intimacy wasn't with you, then it must have been with one of them. Omar Rav Nachman, lo tashgichun ba, don't listen to her. Noisenes einel biacher havoi. This is another example of a woman who became interested in being with someone else. In other words, she was interested in leaving her husband. And if we adopt the approach we said in the first example, that we're dealing with the wife of a Kohen, and according to her words at face value, then she would be also to continue with her husband, enabling her to be with another man, to marry someone else. Well, factoring all of that together, Rav Nachman says, I don't trust this lady. She simply wants out because she's become infatuated with someone else. Hahu gavra dehava maharzik bebeisa hu veintisa. There was a man that was hiding the word maharzik. So you can see in the meforshim, you see the word nechba. The Rashi says it was sagur. He was closed with a woman in a house. We're not talking about her husband. So you have a man with a married woman closed in her house. Huve intisa, he and the woman. And then again, with a married woman with together with this other man. Earl Osamore de Besa. All is entered. The husband enters his house. Parte Noef Lahutsa Veorak. The Noef is a reference to this other man. Noef literally mean what a paramour, but in this context you'll see why I'm hesitating using that word. The stranger, parte means he split the fence. There was a fence that was made of branches, so he made a little opening in the fence and ran away. The Hagois Mari Landau quotes the Oruch and says that the stranger was seen by the husband, namely he ran away in front of the husband. Omar Rova Itza Sharia. The woman is mutera. She's allowed to go to be with her husband. She's not forbidden to her husband. Im Isa de Avari Sura, if there had been a real violation of, namely, intimacy between the married woman and the stranger, Irkuse Hava Mirkas, he would have hidden himself in the house and not run away in front of the husband. He would have hidden himself in such a way that the husband would not be aware of his presence. The fact that he ran away in front of the husband indicates that he didn't actually conduct intimacy with the woman. Hahu noyef de'ol legabi ahi da'i intisa. There was a man who entered a house. Osa gavra, the husband came in. Solik noyef isiv bekole bava. And the noyef, the stranger, the paramour, he ran and hid behind a curtain. Behind a curtain that's at the entrance of the house. Havemachton tachli tamon. Where the fellow was hiding behind the curtain, there was some tachli, some type of vegetation that was lying on the ground. The ta'aminun chivya, and a snake, a venomous creature, had eaten from it. When a venomous creature eats from food, so it deposits its venom in it as well, and it would be dangerous for someone to eat it. Boy, more de besa le mechal min hano tachli. The more de besa, the Baba Bayis, the husband, was about to reach for that tachli and eat from it. Beloi daito de intesa, without his wife being aware of it. Omar le ahu noyef. The noyef from behind the curtain says, lo techo min hain de taminon chivya. Don't eat from that. It was tasted. It was eaten by a serpent. Omar Rava, it's a sharia. The woman is allowed to her husband. In other words, there's no intimacy that took place. In Isay the Ovid Isura, if that paramour had actually had intimacy with her, Nicha le the lecho the lemus. You can rest assured that the Noyef, this stranger, would have been happy for the balabayas, for the husband, to eat it and die. Dichtiv ki noyafois heino v'dam bidehen. People who are engaged in real ni'uf, and this is why I hesitated translating the word noyef, leaving you with the impression that he had actual intimacy. It's a person who's involved with areas of immorality, we'll say. And the pasuk describes people who are real practitioners of prohibited intimacy. They have blood on their hands. They are willing to murder. They're willing to kill. So this man was saving the life of her husband, indicating that he wasn't a real no-eif. He wasn't a real practitioner of forbidden intimacy. The Gemara, upon hearing this story, says, Pshita, it's obvious. Do I really need Rava to rule that a guy who shouts from behind from wherever he is, saying, hey, don't eat from that, it's dangerous, that it's obvious that he didn't do intimacy with the man's wife. If he really was interested in her, he'd be very happy for the husband to be dead. So the Gemara says, no, I need Rava's ruling. Mahu detema isura avat. I might have thought that this man really did have intimacy with her. V'hai domar lei, and that which he said, don't eat from it. In other words, that which he protected the husband to keep him alive, the nicho lei delole musbal. He would be happy for the husband to remain alive, not to die. To teheve intase iluya, mayim genuvim yimtoku velechem storim yinom. That way, the woman that he is so interested in, the woman that he has intimacy with, is a married woman, remains a married woman, and every time he, the paramour, would have intimacy with her, he'd be having intimacy with the forbidden. And the forbidden tastes sweeter. Stolen waters are sweet, as the pasuk says. So that this was an alternative way of looking at things. That the no-eif's interest in preserving the husband is not an indication of his innocence, but to the contrary, he is a practitioner of forbidden intimacy and wants the husband to remain alive so that he can enjoy the taste of stolen waters. Komash malon, so Rav informs us that we are not to reason that way, but rather she is muteris. The Tosfos adds a little more explanation. The very bottom line of the Tosfos commentary, he says, Mayim Genuvim Yimtoki, Domer Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says, Nital Tam Bio Venitan Leyovi Avera. That at a certain point in time, the true pleasure in intimacy is experienced only when it's done under forbidden circumstances. So there is such a statement, there's such a, we'll say, a reality. Komash Malon, so the Chiddush of the Gemara is, Denoyef Einu Yodeazeh. Your standard paramour isn't aware of that comment in Sanhedrin, that the more forbidden a woman is, the more enjoyable is the experience. He doesn't know that. The Einu Yodeazeh V'nichole Dolemus Baal Kedesh Yusena B'farhesya. If he was a real paramour, he would be quite interested. If he was really a practitioner of immorality and really wanted her, he would be happier for the husband to be dead so that he can marry her in an open fashion. Ah, so you see that he acted to preserve the husband's life. It must be that he is not engaged in forbidden intimacy, and therefore the woman is permitted to her husband. Namely, nothing happened. As you can see, with the help of the one above, we have merited finishing Maseches Nedarim, and we wish everyone who completed Maseches Nedarim, and especially those of you who completed it with our Daf Yomi Gemara markings Shiurim, a hearty Mazel Tov. And Amir Tzashem, we will meet again at our next Masechta. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you're interested in accessing marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.